Hello, this is the Berlin International Center for the Study of Anti-Semitism. Today we are speaking with Alexander Jakobson. He is Associate Professor of History at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, and he is one of the authors of a book we translated into German this year, co-edited by Fania Ort-Salzer and Vidisha Stern, the Israeli Nation-State Political, Constitutional and Cultural Challenge. So, good morning to Jerusalem.
Good morning.
So, Alex, what is your take on the recent decision by Trump to acknowledge that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel?
Well, the truth is that, in my view, the real question is not whether Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. It obviously is the capital of Israel and has been since the beginning of the state. But the real question is the status of East Jerusalem, of the Arab quarters of East Jerusalem. And I think the statement made by Trump could have been quite, I would say, positive if he made clear this distinction. In fact, it is implied, but it is not explicitly clear, and I think it is blurred for political reasons. But if he, the Czech Republic, shortly after his statement, published a statement recognizing West Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And if he said this would not have caused any international problem, or at least not any major problem, because this needs to be recognized, that the Hebrew Jerusalem, the Western Jerusalem, is Israel's capital. Now, he could have said even something, I would say, more pro-Israeli, because obviously he wanted to get credit from his right-wing base, but if he also took care not to damage the political situation in the Middle East, he could have said, I'm recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital generally, but this does not mean that there is any change in the American position, in the traditional American position on the status of East Jerusalem.
Okay.
So that would have been much less problematic, and I think I would have welcomed this. But
yeah,
the way he put it, he said, he spoke about Jerusalem in general. Then there is also a statement, if you read carefully what he said, that this does not, he's not taking sides on the boundary of Israeli sovereignty within Jerusalem, and this will have to be negotiated. So he's not recognizing Israeli sovereignty over East Jerusalem, but certainly he makes it sound if he was supporting the Israeli claim on East Jerusalem, which I think is not a good thing to do, because I actually think that it's obvious that there can never be a peace settlement between Israelis and Palestinians without a Palestinian capital in East Jerusalem. I think everybody who seriously thinks about peace, whether you believe that it is possible now, or whether even, I am not sure of it, but in principle, whenever there is a real chance for peace, when both sides are genuinely ready for peace, I think that both of them at this time are not really, both leaderships are not, but even when we reach the point where we will have leaderships that will be willing to go for it and to make the necessary concessions, and this will also include Palestinian concessions, but everybody who honestly thinks about any possible peace must know that it will never be possible without a Palestinian capital in East Jerusalem.
Yeah, thank you. Yesterday there was a piece in Haaretz by Alison Kaplan Sommer, and she's writing about Armageddon and the evangelical huge base of dozens of millions of Americans who embrace Trump over Jerusalem. And obviously, they only embrace him over East Jerusalem. Because West Jerusalem, they don't care about West Jerusalem. They just care about...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question about Americans. Could you repeat again?
Yeah, it's about Armageddon. That means
the
evangelical people in the U.S., they just want Armageddon. That means they want the return of Jesus. So that is an anti-Jewish thinking, isn't it? What do you think about this? And this is
It's clear, everybody knows that within the camp of Trump's supporters, within his, out of the more than 45% of Americans who support him, as we know, he doesn't have the support. He didn't get the votes of of an absolute majority, but he did get many votes. Now, among them, there is a section, a fundamentalist section. It doesn't represent all American Christians. It doesn't represent all American conservatives or Republicans. And I think it's even important to say that it doesn't represent all American evangelicals. But I think within the evangelical community, there is certainly a group that is thinking seriously, more or less, if you can use this expression in this context, does think in terms of the Last Judgment, Armageddon, and really regards Israel as an instrument in bringing it about, rather than as a homeland of the Jewish people and a modern democracy. So I would not say this is really Trump's own view or that of his administration or of most Republicans, but definitely it's there. So within part of his supporters are like that, and of course I have nothing common with them. But I think there is a much larger group of conservative Christians in the United States that support Israel, and I welcome that, but they don't support Israel because of Armageddon. They support Israel, but I welcome that, but I think we have to be cautious and not to assume that whoever supports Israel is doing a favor to Israel, because frankly speaking, I would say that many of those who support the Palestinians are not doing any favor to the Palestinians. They are causing damage to the Palestinians. And I would say that some of those who support Israel, for example, those who think that it's a good idea to support the Israeli rule over 300,000 Palestinian Arabs in East Jerusalem, which I think is not actually Israel's interest and will not enable a peace agreement, or those who think it's a good idea to support the right-wing ideology that says that Israel should rule the West Bank despite the huge Palestinian population there. All those whose support to Israel goes as far as that, even if they don't think in terms of Armageddon. And frankly speaking, I think it's a bit of a polemical thing to pretend that most right-wing supporters of Israel in America think in such terms, apocalyptic terms, but even if they don't, I think that this kind of support for Israel is not actually in the interests of the Jewish people and of the state of Israel.
Okay. In Germany, we have, of course, a remarkable anti-Israel sentiment in the population, and we had a rally by Turkish, Arab, and Palestinian, and other really anti-Semitic people, 1,200 the other day.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
So just more slowly. Yeah, I just mentioned that we have anti-Israel people in Germany who agitated against the Jewish state as such, and of course against Trump. But these people are, of course, not the only ones who are opposing it, but many people even those, and this is my question to you as an expert on Zionism and Jerusalem, many people in the pro-Israel camp, they are of course opposing all these anti-Semitic people, and that is fine, but they don't understand the internal threat of a undivided Jerusalem for a Jewish Jerusalem. And as far as I know, and perhaps you can emphasize this, there are discussions in Jerusalem that Jerusalem is being threatened by a huge group of the Palestinians in East Jerusalem if they all will apply for Israeli citizenship, which they might do in the next days. So Israel will not have a Jewish capital. Despite the fact, which you already emphasized, that East Jerusalem is, of course, the Palestinian, or should be probably the Palestinian capital. But even from a pro-Israel point of view, I think it is not pro-Israel. What is your take on this?
Yeah. You know, first of all, I must say that we all have to understand that we will have some problematic bedfellows. Whether you, when one supports Israel, one cannot avoid being on the same side with others who support Israel for problematic reasons, or maybe they're just misguided, even if they're not fundamentally problematic. But I would also say that those who oppose Israel should look around, and they must notice that they also have some very, I think, in my view, even they have a larger number of very problematic bedfellows. But this is just a general introductory statement that we must, you know, we must just believe in what is right, regardless of whether other people share some of our views, but sometimes for wrong reasons. Now, on the question of Jerusalem itself and the Israeli national interest, there is a paradox. The right-wing view is, and I must say not just the right, but also the official view of the Israeli center, with which I disagree, is that it is in Israel's interest to keep the whole of the present, what is today defined as Jerusalem, in its municipal borders under Israeli sovereignty. This is the Israeli official point of view. Now, I strongly disagree with that, not just because of it does not allow any chance for peace when peace becomes feasible, but because it is really not in Israel's interest to rule all those people. There is a paradox in Jerusalem that there is a very large Palestinian population that has up to now has not exercised its right to vote in municipal elections, which they have today. And they could have, if they boycott Israeli municipal elections because they think that it would have been a recognition of Israeli sovereignty. But actually, once, if they decide, I think it's more or less inevitable that if we do not partition Jerusalem, then sooner or later, of course, the huge Arab population of Jerusalem will start voting in municipal elections. When this happens, the Israeli sovereignty over the whole of Jerusalem will be jeopardized, because you have a very large part of the population of Jerusalem who are not Israelis and, of course, have no loyalty to the state of Israel, much less to the concept of a Jewish state. And while, of course, they have every right, if there is a united city, naturally it's their right. I don't doubt their right to do that at all. But I think that any sane Israeli who is really thinking in terms of the national interest, never mind anyone's rights and chances for peace, but purely for the point of self-interest, I would say enlightened self-interest, it is clear that perpetuating Israeli rule over the whole of Jerusalem will make it a binational city. And then, of course, one has to remember that most Arabs in East Jerusalem, most of the Palestinian Arabs in East Jerusalem, have also not received Israeli citizenship, also for political reasons, because it is a part of the Palestinian national narrative that they must oppose the annexation of Jerusalem. But if we make it clear, if it becomes clear that Jerusalem, the whole of Jerusalem, including East Jerusalem, is under Israeli sovereignty forever, then, of course, Israel will get an addition of 250,000 or 300, or I think even more. And these numbers, naturally, they grow, you know, as we speak. A huge addition of Palestinian population. Now, nobody in Israel, nobody in the Jewish public in Israel thinks that it is in the national interest of Israel to do that. But people on the right tend to think in terms of territory, as if you could distinguish between territory and the people who live there. They want the territory, but they somehow don't bother to ask themselves what is happening with the people there. And up to now, one must say, the PLO has been cooperating with Israel, paradoxically, because the PLO has been telling Arabs in Jerusalem, do not acquire Israeli citizenship and do not vote in municipal elections. Because we are disputing Israeli sovereignty. But this strange coalition between Israel and the PLO cannot last forever if it becomes clear that there is no chance that there will be a Palestinian capital in East Jerusalem.
Yeah. Last question. The other day there was also a short interview with Michael Oren in the leading German Boulevard Daily Bild title. And he is, of course, embracing Trump, and he's even saying that Trump is reliable, which is, from a Jewish perspective, a remarkable statement, if we look at the omission of Jews and Holocaust Remembrance Day by Trump, or if we look at the statement on Charlottesville where neo-Nazis screamed Jews will not replace us, and Trump said there were very fine people among them. And finally, because you just emphasized the Jewish and Zionist perspective on Jerusalem West and East Jerusalem, why do you think, perhaps you have an idea about it, Germans are embracing the not so differentiated or not so, let's say, Zionist perspective?
Again, I'm sorry. The last phrase, repeat that, please.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why the German mainstream, the pro-Israel mainstream, because it's a boulevard daily, but it's mainstream. It's the most important boulevard daily in Germany. And they are not interviewing you, but they interview the more right-wing people in Israel. Why do you think is it like this?
You are asking about the German public opinion, about the American public opinion?
No, the German. Why the Germans are embracing the right-wing Israelis and not the more Zionist, differentiated Israelis like you?
Well, you know, I don't pretend to know the German scene in detail, and these things you have to be very careful about making general statements. But I think, generally speaking, I'm very uneasy with the fact that many people on the Israeli right think that whoever supports Israel in Europe or in the United States is on our side and we should welcome him as an ally. Now, of course, I understand, and I'm not ignoring the fact that there is a great bitterness among Israelis and among Jews of diaspora and of Israel and among Israeli supporters in the West. There's a great bitterness against, I would say, hostility to Israel among left liberal circles, including in some cases what is called the new anti-Semitism. That is certainly there. There is kind of a left liberal assumption that Islam in any form is an ally because it is anti-Western and anti-imperialist, and that includes very problematic things. So
yeah.
I'm aware of that. I'm not trying to ignore it, but at the same time, I think it is very wrong to move in the opposite direction of saying, since we have problems on the left, therefore we don't see the problems on the right. Of course, we must never forget that the far right, and not always only the far right, but I think today principally the far right, of course, was the source of most of the anti-Semitism of the in the last century, and at least certainly in the West. And once you start moving from the center to the right, then of course there are many people right of center and also really conservative people who are not at all anti-Semitic, and I don't want to imply that they are. But once you start moving from the center to the right, and I would say particularly in Germany, inevitably because of the baggage of the past, once you start moving to the right, then you will at some point encounter very problematic things, and not just anti-Semitism, but generally speaking, a illiberal, anti-democratic, and racist worldview. And certainly you have it when you speak about Trump. You have it. Trump himself is not free from it, but I would say within his camp there are people who are, you know, if Trump said that in a neo-Nazi demonstration some people were quite decent Americans because they were patriots and they were waving American flags and they disliked the leftists and the and maybe they're also the Muslims. So if Trump is able, the President of the United States, is able to find something positive in a neo-Nazi demonstration, then that's I would say that's a very extreme example, that we must never assume that whoever is on the right, because the right is against the left, and the left is critical of Israel, we must never assume that it's okay to support or to welcome support from any kind of right. We just have to be very, you know, to be very honest. I think both sides have to understand there are problematic phenomena in their camp, but we must never, I would say I don't like at all the, when I hear some of those who support the Jewish state now in including German, including AfD people and people like that. There is a, of course, I would say most extreme rightists in Europe have done us a favor of being anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli. Most of them, but not all of them. I would say that Marie Le Pen, the father, was anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli. And I would say it's kind of a compliment to the Jewish people and to the Jewish state that anti-democratic and racist right is also hostile to the Jewish people, as it has always been. But I would also be very careful about embracing people who say they are not anti-Semites and they support Israel. But when you look at their worldview, you see that they are not genuine Democrats and genuine humanists.
Absolutely. Okay, so thank you very much. This was Professor Alexander Jakobson from the University, and we are grateful for your analysis and statement, and have a good day. Shalom to Jerusalem.
Thank you.